Well, happy song, y'all. I've been listening to the Joe Cocker and singing it to Lucy. I may turn him down. So I love my cat like no other, just so all of you know. Let me fix my lights and we will get started. Okay, so we're going to talk urges tonight, guys. And this is how this call is going to work. I'm going to teach you a process, a four-step process for handling urges. And then if you guys have questions, I want you to put them in the Q&A so that I can answer them when we get done. I'm going to take my glasses off. And one of the things that I want to do is I'm going to kind of take you guys through what I would consider a really good way for you to sit with an urge before you decide what you're going to do with it. Now, for most of you, you're going to love this process because it is part of the no BS that's releasing in the end of this month, December of 2020. This is something brand new that I've done. We have had an older process before and I refined it and cut it down to four simple steps. And that's what we're going to talk tonight. All right. So when you get no BS, we have all kinds of information and worksheets and things. We have something coming out called the pre-urge worksheet, which is really good so that you can, I think it's the pre-urge worksheet. And then there is a, let me look it up just to make sure. I'll tell you what. Don't worry about that. You'll know when it comes out in no BS, all the things that are there. All right, everybody, I want you to like just think about the last time that you had a food urge. So that could have been this afternoon when you were walking by a candy dish. That's a food urge. It could be this morning and you were thinking about wanting to have a glass of wine already tonight. Whether like maybe you got up and it's like it's Monday and it's going to be a bitch of a day because this is the week that you have to get everything done because maybe you're taking the holiday week off. And so, you know, like you're just like already thinking about what you're going to want to either drink or have tonight. That's also an urge. So I think a lot of times what you guys do is you think you can't sit with urges and you have urges way more often than you think you are. And you are not responding to them. So if you are at work and you're wanting to have a glass of wine at, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when you get home, you're not like leaving the office, going home and drinking wine. That is the start of an urge. And that is really important to note that, oh, this was an urge and I am saying no to it right now. And the reason why I want to tell you guys that is because it's so important for you guys to understand how often you actually can say no. Because a lot of you think, like you have this one big thought error. I can't say no to urges, or they're too hard for me to handle, when it's really not true, because you're not responding to them all the time. You're responding to them some of the time, and then you're making a big fucking deal out of it that you responded to this urge, and you dismiss every single success you had before. The only way your brain ever breaks free of believing that it can't respond to urges is if you start giving it evidence that it can. And that does not mean that the only time you say no or the only times that count are like late at night when you normally are face down in a sleeve of Oreos. We have to give ourselves credit for the ones that we're also not responding to at other parts of the day. And you have to make yourself give yourself credit. If you really believe that you can't say no to urges, you are already sitting there with some bullshit line going through your head. Well, it really doesn't count. I mean, I would never drink wine at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's like, exactly. If you wouldn't drink wine at 7 o'clock in the morning, then you know how to say no to an urge. You also know how to not want wine at certain times of the day. I love the idea. I did this one time in a live workshop where there was a glass of wine and we were literally there at 8 o'clock in the morning and it was sitting there and they said like, all right, who all wants to drink this right now? And of course, like no one raised their hand. And of course, we're all there. We were literally the day before we were all bitching and moaning at 4 o'clock, how bad we wanted some wine and all this other stuff. And that it's just so hard and, you know, we can't say no and bullshit like that. Right. Well, nobody ran up there and said, yeah, I'll take the 8 a.m. glass. It's because our thoughts about it changed. I'm not going to have that right now. It doesn't look appealing. Now, that doesn't mean that at night it's not going to look appealing, but I just want you to understand it's just a thought change about it. Your thought change is, ooh, that looks really good. You have to, and I know that sounds crazy, but you have to know those things about yourself, because if you know that you're going to sit there and talk differently about wine or Cheetos or Oreos at 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, you need to understand those comments that you make in your head. And then what would be the difference if we were talking like 4 a.m. in the morning? You can tell yourself those things like, you know what? I'm just thinking it looks good right now, but it's not good for me. Or I'm just thinking I would really like to have that right now, but I can sit with it. Like, you have to really start understanding those things that you say to yourself, okay? So I want to go through the 4-step process, and then I want to take you guys through something where you're going to, like, unless you're driving, you're going to kind of close your eyes and do the thing, okay? I want to separate this audio out. If it goes well, I'm going to separate the audio out and put it into your bonus resources so that when you have urges, if you want to play this, like, you know, like 2 to 4 minute experiment over and over again, guys, I'll drop the audio in for you, but let's see how it goes. I may have to record it on my own. So we're going to experiment. All right. So number one, in order to break your urges, you have to identify your patterns first. Guys, you are not going to be able to say no to urges if you're letting them come and hit you upside the head like a 2x4 all the time. How do you identify urges, or how do you identify the patterns? Your planner. Seriously. I know a lot of you bitch and moan about, I want to fill out my planner and see all these things I'm doing. So I'm like, okay, so here's what you want to do. You want to sit around and think, why the fuck can't I lose weight? Why can't I get my shit together? I don't know why it's so hard to say urges. They seem to just come over me at night. No, they don't. If you're eating every single night, nothing's fucking coming over you. You know what's coming over you? Your ignorance. Because you're not using your planner every single night to track exactly what you eat, what you might be trying to escape from. Before you try to say no, if you're doing it all the time, then back the truck up and figure out why you want it to begin with. Give yourself permission in the beginning. Seriously, give yourself permission in the beginning to be like, you know what? I'm going to eat the things. And for like a couple of weeks, because I'm already eating the things and feeling like a shit because I ain't losing any weight. So I'm assuming nothing's going to get worse. The only thing that could get worse, literally, the only thing that's going to get worse is if you start tracking it, you have bullshit judgment. You might feel a little worse. So what? Either cut out your judgment and get to work, or feel a little worse, but then have a better outcome later. So we are going to keep track of our food. Make your 24-hour plan, and it has to be realistic. And keep doing it until you notice, like, oh my gosh, I tend to break my plan every single day at the exact same time. That one candy dish is the one I keep getting into. That pantry, I go to it every day at 4:57. I notice that at 8:30, when my Rugrats have gone to bed, I'm like, where's the wine and give me some chips? Like, whatever it is, we have to know not only what we're eating, we have to know where we're at typically. We need to know, like, what the hell's going on. Does it tend to happen on days when my schedule's really full? Is it on days where I get triggered with some anger and stuff and I don't really deal with that? I'm just like sitting around seething underneath my skin all day long. And then at night, I want relief from my seething all day long. You have to start noticing those things. So when you notice your patterns, then you get an opportunity to start planning around them. You start getting the opportunity to take some authority. Merle, we're going to talk about why they're stronger at night. It's because you got, guys, do a plan, a realistic one. Seriously. It's all in the no BS that's coming out, but I'm going to tell you exactly why it's worse at night. It's called decision fatigue. In the morning, you don't have bullshit. You know what you have first thing in the morning? A rested brain looking at the rest of the day thinking, go get them, tiger. This is the day. I'm not doing that bullshit anymore. I'm going to be good. That is our morning brain. Because I guarantee most of you eat your face off at night. The ones that are like asking these questions is like, well, I'm breaking my plan every night. I don't know what the hell happens to me at night. Yeah, you do. By the end of the day, you probably have some crap plan that doesn't have any kind of realistic shit on there. Like realistic. And then all day long, you ain't done a damn thought download or one model. You haven't taken the time to journal. You may have a 24-hour plan, but this is usually what I see. The most unrealistic 24-hour plan, day in and day out, until you just quit doing them because you swear to God they don't work, but they never were realistic to begin with. On top of a half-hearted effort at a thought download. Like, you write like a couple of sentences like, I'm going to get my weight off today. I don't know what I'm thinking. Whatever it is. Then you go through your day pissed and upset and worried and people pleasing and doing all the things. And your brain is like lit all day long. Your good intentions in the morning of like, I'm going to be good. I'm not going to blow it today. Like guys, if your first thought is I'm not going to blow it today, you have to be thought downloading and modeling. You have to. That is not the way you start the day. I'm not going to blow it today. Why would you ever talk to yourself like that? That'd be like saying, hey, kids, I know y'all fixing to go like to chemistry and do all the things in the high school. Don't y'all blow it today. If you wouldn't, like, I would just love for one day for you guys, seriously, to like go drop your kids off. And whatever shit you say about your day in your head, I want you to tell them that on their way out the door. And then when they come home and they're like, I had a really bad day, let's get snacks. We should all eat just a bag of chips. That is how you cure it. I will pour you wine. I know you're only 16, but I swear to God, a glass of wine, that's what'll take care of it. We just need some relief. Or when your daughter's boyfriend's acting like a jackass and texting some other little 16-year-old hussy and she's crying. Like, oh, we should have some wine. That's what we should do. That's how you get to feeling better. He probably doesn't mean it. Like, we have to watch how we're behaving with ourselves. So the reason why, like, you wake up first thing in the morning, your brain's fresh. Like, all night long, it's been cleansed. All night long. And you wake up, and usually the front part of your brain, which is the thinking part, it also has your goals there. Because the thinking part of your brain is where your future self and your goals and the things that you want for life and all that kind of stuff all reside there. Well, you can engage that part so much easier first thing in the morning. That's why I have you guys come up with powerful questions first thing in the morning. Not like, don't blow it today. Powerful thoughts first thing in the morning. You make a food plan. It's very realistic because your thinking brain can actually think about all the things that are going to happen. It also can anticipate that if it's Wednesday and you're normally really stressed out on Wednesdays, like, this may be the time to have a very different evening plan than what we have on Monday when it ain't so bad. Right? Then you go through your day and you're making decisions all day. Everybody's texting you. All the things are happening. By the end of the day, your brain is just more tired. There's lots of residue in your brain. It's very hard for your thinking brain to engage. That's why we make realistic plans so that, and you keep them out of your planner. Like, lay your planner out every now and then. Take whatever you write in your planner and put it on a sticky note to remind you so that you're not having to try to remember what's on your plan. This is why we do so many things ahead of time so that when you're tired and when you're stressed at night, you have some decisions made ahead of time. That's really important. It takes the load off of your brain from, like, the only thing you have left then is to listen to an urge and not respond it. You're not trying to not respond to an urge while also trying to figure out if there's anything that you can eat, what you're going to have for dinner, Like, I love it when you guys always insist that you got to cook a fresh hot meal every night, and yet 3 nights out of the week, you're ordering pizza. It's like, obviously you don't have to cook one every single night. So maybe you can do some food prep. Maybe there are some things you can do. For a lot of you, it's going to take like making sure that if you know if Wednesdays y'all always order pizza, guess what? This Wednesday ain't going to be no damn different. You're going to want to order pizza. You're going to need to figure out what that level up is going to be. You need a realistic plan for it, because I promise you, even if you put the 3 slices of pizza on there, your habit brain is going to want to eat all the pizza, not just 3. But the bar is set low enough to where you can start with 3 until you can ratchet it back and get some, like, get some momentum on teaching your brain how to think differently. But you guys got to quit trying to go from 0 to 100 on this shit. It does not work that way, ever. A lot of you want it to work that way, keep trying to make it work that way, and it does not work that way. Your brain is going to be at its weakest in the evenings. I would bet you if we looked at all of PNP, 80% of overeats are happening after 4 p.m. Most of you make it most of the day, but man, after 4 p.m., it just starts going, wah, wah. That's why you need really strong plans, really well thought out ones. You need to teach your brain how to like have the easiest road possible to get to success. All right, so we're still on step number one. We have to identify our patterns. So we're going to have some new worksheets in the No BS that are going to help you guys with this, but the short of it until then is if you're using your planner and you are tracking, you want to be looking for things like, first, I would always track where you're at. I think the room is really huge. I think when it comes, so like the way urges love to work is it's all about habituation. Your brain has been looking for ways to habituate the things you do. And if you've, the longer you've been doing these things, the more you're going to have what I call the environmental triggers. So very often I will tell someone, like, if you always overeat in a certain chair, like a lot of us are, well, we're just human. We're all very routine. So I know for me, like my thing is I can almost set the clock on Thursdays that I start wanting wine. Like by Thursdays, I'm wanting to go and like I start negotiating and trying to trade and doing all the things. I know that's how my brain works. I make sure that my Thursday plans always address, like I write and address it. Because the more I address like what's going to come up for me and why I'm not going to like here's the reasons why I don't want to drink wine tonight. I really don't want to feel like ass first thing Friday morning, like whatever it may be, right? So I go through and I give myself reasons. So you need to look at, like, first and foremost, like your environmental cues. So for me, a big one on Thursdays is like certain meetings that I have on Thursdays. I have like wanted to blow off steam Thursday night with wine. And so I had to notice that. It's like, okay, these certain meetings, that's one of my environmental cues. Another thing I see a lot of you guys do is you will eat like in a certain place. And that certain place is like a real trigger for you to just turn off and mindlessly eat. So for a lot of you, it's a certain place on the couch. It may be a certain chair. You might have certain nighttime clothes that you wear like every damn night. And like once you put those clothes on, you start noticing that you already start thinking about food. So if you're going to be identifying your patterns, you do your planner. And then the reason for that is not so that you can be ashamed of how you show up for yourself. A lot of you stop like doing your planner because you're like, well, when I see it, I feel worse. Right? When you see it, feeling worse is an option. You also could be like, this is going to be what it takes to get some traction. The plan is not to just so that you can follow the plan. The plan is for a lot of different reasons. So sometimes in the beginning, the plan is more to just gain lots of awareness. So where are you? What time? all like, is there certain feelings? Guys, we're going to do this in a minute, but I would quit wasting your overeat to identify the feeling that you're having when you have the urge, and identify the feelings you had even before the urge. So like, think about your day. Like if you notice you overate, think about the day and say, like, what would be the top three feelings I would describe through this day, and track that for a little while and see. For a lot of you, you'll notice that on days that, like, I seem to always overeat on days that I feel stressed and anxious, and by the end of the day, I'm eating. You want to know that so that on the days where you notice you're getting stressed and anxious, you can start telling yourself before you even get home, we won't be eating over this today. It will not ever be worth eating over this today. And you can look at, like, when you start taking the food, like, as an option away before you get home where the food is, like hours prior, when you take the food away as an option, as it won't solve this, what am I trying to solve? It at least gives you a heads up to start thinking about what you could be trying to solve later in the evening. Because what I find you guys do is you go home, you know you've been stressed and anxious, but you don't really know why. You don't know what it was. And that's how you find that stuff out. The other thing you want to do is look for the little like things that you tell yourself. So a lot of people will say things to themselves like, I worked so hard today, I just need a break. That is a big one that I want you guys to really think about, is whenever you're noticing yourself saying something like, I just need a break, what do you need a break from? Like, tell yourself, even if I eat, I at least want to know so that when I journal later or when I get my journal out tomorrow, I can remember what I was thinking I needed a break from. Because usually what happens is once you eat, the next day, when shame train starts, you guys have so much judgment about your overeat, you can't even remember why you're overeating to begin with. You think it's just the urge. It's like, I was just so restless and my mouth was water and it was all of that. That is not probably why we're eating. That is like, just think of it this way. It's like all day long, your brain was signaling something's wrong, something's wrong. And when you think, I just need a break, it's not from that urge feeling. That urge feeling is like the top of what just happened. We want to figure out what was going on before that, because then we never need those urges to pop up. All right, let's see. Number two, so we're going to identify patterns. This is really important for the pattern part to happen. So many of you can't tell me your distinct patterns. And don't just say standing in the pantry. What time? What foods do you eat typically? Make a list of those. Like, what foods will you not eat? Like, what do you go on the hunt for? Do you do it by yourself or do you do it in front of your family? Is it like, do you stand in the pantry and eat, or do you actually take it away from the pantry? Like, figure out all the patterns. Really get to know them. Let me just say one last thing on this. One of the other reasons why it's so important for you to identify these patterns, guys, is because the more you know the sentences and the places and all this other stuff, you'll know an urge is starting. A lot of you will tell me, I don't know when an urge is starting. It just comes over me, or I just find myself eating. This is why we do this part. Knowing all of these patterns will help you, like, oh my gosh. Like, here I am, I'm just standing in the pantry. And like yesterday you were standing in the pantry and you'd look up and you'd already ate. Now you're like, I'm walking to the pantry. I know that this is an urge at this point. The more you can turn your conscious brain on rather than just unconsciously going and doing it, the easier it is to have a choice. It's really hard to have a choice in the matter when your conscious brain never gets to participate in it. All right, so step two. You're going to watch your urge instead of reacting to it. Now, this is really simple. This is what this means. You're going to notice that you're having an urge. And you're going to notice your patterns, and you're going to notice like the patterns of what I actually feel when there's an urge, what I may have been feeling prior to the urge that got me going as to far as like wanting to eat as a way to deal with this. Because like stress doesn't make you eat. Over time, you have had some, you've like, this is all in no BS, but I want to tell you guys this. At some point in your life, you were stressed and you ended up eating, and your brain made this connection like, oh, so if I'm stressed and I eat, one, I quit thinking about my stressful thing, and two, I get a dopamine hit. Okay, well, let's put that on repeat. You're not eating because of stress. It's just a connection that's been made. It's just like people don't smoke because they're stressed. So like a lot of people who smoked in their life, or you don't drink because you're stressed. Most of the time when you're a teenager, the first time you drink or the first time you smoke, you weren't like, oh my God, I've got an exam and I'm so stressed out. Who's got cigarettes and who's got wine? No, we're like off in the woods somewhere with our friends around a bonfire, and somebody's like, hey man, you're trying to smoke. Like that's how most of us start. We start because like, ooh, that looks good. So, but over time, what happens is you get up to be a grown ass adult and you're doing this shit long enough, you start doing it in connection with something that's stressful. And then you start being like, oh, I'm a stress eater. Oh, I'm a stress smoker. I'm a stress drinker. That's not how it works. So it's really, the reason why this is important is so that when an urge starts, you're not blaming it on stress and you're not blaming it on your day. Like you're never eating because of something that happened. You're never eating because of something you're feeling. You're always eating because at some point your brain started sending signals for you to eat and you said yes. That is why we eat every single time. That is why an urge happens every single time. And the more that you just keep it that simple, the more you can be like, oh, so I'm just going to deal with like urges. I'm not going to try to solve all the world's problems first. I'm just going to deal with like me wanting to eat. Now, here comes the thing. When you watch an urge, you have to be really careful because most of you never watch urges. You have an urge and then you immediately go, oh God, here it goes. These are so hard. If I could just quit having urges, I would lose all my weight. Urges are a really big problem. And you guys have this story around urges. A lot of thoughts around urges. And we have got to get your urge story back to zero. It's an urge. You are going to have to sit through it. And if you take out the story part of it, what you have left are physical sensations in your body. That is it. We're going to do this in a minute, but I literally want you guys to hear this. When you're having an urge, if it is intense and raucous, it ain't because of the urge. It is because of your thoughts about it. You have a model going, so I want you guys to think about this. For all my model girls. The boring model where we can like, because we fight urges all the time, super easily. I often have the urge to like slap the piss out of people because I'm just one of those girls that gets mad just like that. Guess what I don't do? I don't go out in public and slap the piss out of people who say shit that I don't like. I deny my urges all the time. And I don't go, this is not what's happening in my brain. Oh my God, I just have the urge to slap her. I hope I don't slap her. I'd hate to go to jail. This is going to ruin my life if this happens. Oh, like I don't like go ham on myself over it. Food urges are the same. You have an elaborate story that you tell over and over again about your urges. And so when an urge starts, you feel like hell on earth. And then you wonder why you eat. You're not eating because of the urge anymore. You're probably now eating because of the drummed up anxiety you have over an urge. So there's one version. So the feeling is urge, and the action is don't slap the piss out of someone. The thought, I want to throat punch her. The circumstance, she gave me the wrong change. This is the crazy as to which I live, all right? So, gave me the wrong change. I want to throat punch her. My feeling, urge. I have this urge to slap her, but I don't slap the piss out of her. I basically have decided to stop the model here. You know why? I don't have a story around this. Like, I'm kind of pissed, and I have an urge, but I'm going to stop. And the reason why I'm able to stop myself is because I'm not sitting there thinking that this urge to throat punch her is so intolerable. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stand here. I hope to God she hurries up and counts out that change, because I don't know if I can control myself. Could you imagine if I stood there doing all of that? It would suck. I'd never leave the house. But now this is what you guys are doing. Y'all run a second model. So you have also a model running where the urge is the circumstance. And your thoughts are, this is intolerable, this is so hard, this is impossible, this is going to make me eat, this is all the things. And then your feeling is anxious. And when you're anxious, you start the action line of spiraling out of thought control. We call it the swirly toilet of thoughts. Sometimes we call it playing in our dirty diaper. Whatever you want to call it, this is essentially you going ham on yourself. And the result is you eventually eat. Or you make it miserable. You make it impossible. You make it like, the result is eat because I made it impossible on myself. The result is I learned that urges are just really hard to sit through. And then you gin it up for the next time. So this ham part is the part that has to go away. Like, my thoughts about an urge to throat punch someone is, I don't want to go to jail. Like, I'd love to do it, but I won't. Or like, my urge is like, that's ridiculous. We can't go around hitting people. It's the same thing with like a food urge. Just, you could literally say, that's ridiculous. We don't need to eat because we had a bad day. We can't just go around eating all the time because we had a bad day. So now what? So then we have to like have the boring model. And guess what that means? The reason why most of you are having a hard time with your urges, it's because when you quit eating, once that urge goes away, what's left is sitting there. And so for some of us, what's left is like, man, I'm just bored. I'm so used to eating every single night. I don't know what else to do with myself. And so your brain keeps throwing back up urges. And for a lot of you, the other thing that happens is you start going like, oh my gosh. Well, if I'm just going to sit here and watch TV, you start scrolling through in your brain all the things you should be doing, the ways that, like, all the things you need to do tomorrow. And so rather than doing any of it, you end up going and eating to turn your brain off from thinking about what you have to do, rather than just being like, yeah, well, that shit wasn't getting done anyway with me eating, so I might as well sit on my ass. I mean, like, you have to recognize where your brain's going, and that's a really key part. So like, if I'm not going to eat, what is my brain left to think about? And if there's nothing left to think about, that's another thing. It's like, okay, well, if there's nothing to think about, then there's no reason to eat. So we can just sit here and think about nothing. The problem is, I think what a lot of you do is you don't allow yourself to like just go to where your brain's going to want to go. And then that, like, you're missing out on the opportunity when you're eating to understand where your brain wants to go, and then do your thought work on that part. Like, doing your thought work around, like, God, why do I judge myself so much? why do I sit around and just think about my past? Or why do I just sit around worrying about my future, my kids' futures, and all this other stuff? When you take the food away, you're left with the opportunity to start working on the life you want. A lot of you think, we take the food away, and now I'm just left with my like life to think about. My shitty life, or I don't have, like, whatever it is. Some, I know that's some of you, and the rest of you, I just want all of you to even consider that when you keep eating the food, it's not just about the weight loss. It's like, when you take that food away one night, you're left with the opportunity to figure out how you want to start thinking about things. So like Marley, when you were at, I think it's Marley, when you asked, why are my urges coming on so much stronger now? It's because your brain's tired. But if you don't eat, what are you left to think about? All of you start answering that in the chat right now. If you weren't going to like take your time that you eat, just one of them, where you're like, this is my like one thing. Like for me on Thursday nights, if I'm not drinking, I guarantee you there's two things that happen. One, I won't quit working and I'm actually really tired by the Thursday. Like Thursday is like a really tiring day for me because I don't take weekends off. Like I'm like, y'all please don't model after me, but I don't take a lot of time off. And Friday nights are about the only, like Fridays are my easy day. So typically on Fridays, I have a couple things I do about noon, around noon, I start winding down. And that's my date night. Logan goes to his Nana's on Friday. And I usually sleep in a little bit on Saturday. And I know that Friday is coming. And by Thursday, I have been going 0 to 90 probably since Saturday when I woke up. And I know that's why Thursdays are so hard, because like by the time Thursday rolls around, I'm already wanting that break. And if I'm not going to drink wine or eat or whatever, I am left to think about two things. I am left with thinking about all the things that I still need to be doing. And usually I end up just choosing work. So I end up punishing myself rather than giving myself a break. Or I'm left to think about like my worst fears. Because in my idle time, very often I start worrying about Logan's future, our future. Like I have all this work that I am doing on my personal life right now. And so like, I know for me that when I'm not going to drink and when I'm not going to eat, I am sitting there and I am thinking of like, if my brain wants to go to all that stuff. It has been really good for me to understand that, because that gives me something to start working on. It gives me the opportunity to start like, you know, really considering taking more breaks, scheduling more time to where I get comfortable taking breaks. It's just not comfortable for me. Not without wine, where I don't have to think about anything. And then the other one is like the, all the ways that, you know, I am failing and all the ways that things aren't going to work out. It's really gave me some, I've done a lot of writing recently on how things are working out, how I can have faith in Logan's future, like all kinds of stuff. The answer isn't to just like white knuckle and pray to God my wine urges go away. So think about, why are they there to begin with? It's like, it's such a good question. And guys, I will tell you, for some of you, you're going to ask, like, I'm going to ask the question and you're going to be like, I don't know. You need to keep thinking on it and you need to think on it long term. So like, allow yourself every single time you have an urge to just pause for a minute and just say, you know what, even if I eat, what could this really be about? Until you get like a long list of stuff that it could be about. And then something will like trigger and be like, it's this. And then that's when you can go to ask coaches and you can do thought downloads. You can write about it. You know, the thought download is where you write all the sentences and stuff. The thought, the model is in your planner where it says CTFAR. You can start doing some models. The No BS that's coming out has a very good beginner primer lesson on the model and the TDL that's better than ever. But this is where you start getting some traction. Some of y'all said, how to be like, I'm not as good as so-and-so. We start comparing ourselves. And this is the funny thing. Janine says this, I assure you, Mrs. Crabtree, you are not failing. This is how, like, this is why you have to believe what you tell yourself. And that's why it's so important when we start changing our thoughts that you change it to something that's slightly believable. It can't be the pie in the sky, because y'all can tell me all the time I'm not failing. You guys can tell me all the time that I'm amazing, but if I don't really believe it and my brain's going to work on it, my brain's the only one that really matters. I mean, I appreciate when y'all tell me that kind of stuff, but it just goes to show you that, you know, somebody can even tell you exactly the things that you want to hear, and you'll still be like, oh, no, can't be true. No, just no, it's a no. Isn't that so funny? All right. So we're going to watch the urge, which means we're going to listen for what we say. We're going to notice our brain. If it's getting ginned up, if it's going into the swirly toilet and doing all that stuff, what I want you guys to do is like, I notice my brain is racing right now. I notice my heart rate is racing right now. I notice I keep thinking that I can't tolerate this. I notice I keep thinking about food rather than being like, oh my God, I'm thinking about food. There's a difference between you saying things like, all right, right now I'm noticing my brain doing this. I know my brain is just thinking these things. These are thoughts that I have around urges versus, oh my God, this is so bad. I know this is one of the reasons why I'm so overweight. If these things, like if you're doing the arguing and the like convincing of yourself that how terrible this is, that right there, guys, is experiencing the urge at its worst. It's not only are you experiencing the urge, but you're experiencing your own judgment of it. And the last step. Identify the patterns, watch the urge. Step three, insert new actions. This is where we are going to stop the urge, and instead of eating or instead of feeling the urge and then eating, we're going to feel the urge and then we're going to do something new. So what that means is we're either going to do nothing but watch it and think about it, like this is my urge, this is like whatever, or we are going to take an alternate action. This is really important. Like for me, a lot of times with my wine urges, guys, my inaction is I just go about my day. It's like, yeah, well, it's like 10 a.m. We're not drinking. And drinking tonight is only going to make you feel like ass and not be able to have a good time tomorrow night on date night. So a lot of times I just tell myself that and we're moving on. And then I just keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing to begin with, right? The second thing is to do alternate action. This is really important. This is not go distract yourself necessarily, but if you normally, let's say, go to the pantry, instead of going to the pantry, you're going to go to another room. And you're not going to do something that's harder than what the urge, what eating is all about. So this is a classic mistake I see a lot of you guys do. You haul your ass off to go sort clothes, do laundry, change a cat box, help your kids with homework, whatever it is. It's like, if you're used to eating, you can't go do something else that sucks. It has to be equal energy. Now, you're not going to go lay in bed and it feel as good as eating in bed with ice cream. But you can go to bed and, I don't know, like do a little puzzle or read some smut. Watch some TV, whatever. Just do something else. Try to get your brain engaged somewhere else. But it has to be like equal energy effort. What I watch you guys do is like, well, I normally at 8 o'clock at night sit in my duty clothes on the couch with ice cream. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to organize my week and get my planner built. And then I'm going to do extensive emotional work. No, I would love it if you guys can write, but some of you, like journaling, for some of you, journaling when you have an urge is amazing. And for some of you, it's a hell no. Like writing and stuff, like your brain will be like, we are not writing. We should just eat. Like it will just argue. I would rather you just like, you know what we're just going to do? We're going to sit here. I'm going to sit here. I ain't going to do nothing. And I'm going to like watch myself, judge myself for not doing jack shit. But I'm going to be like, and that's just stuff I tell myself. I'm telling myself I'm lazy right now. You know what I am? I'm that bitch who's not eating right now. That's what I am. That ain't lazy. That's called behavior change. You have to have these conversations with yourself. And then the last part is that still observation, which is what I was talking about in the beginning. It's where like, we're going to do this in a minute where we're going to do some like still observation where I'm going to take you guys through a little exercise. And then hopefully we can get a good recording off of it. The last thing that needs to happen. So basically you're going to keep repeating step, knowing your patterns, planning ahead for them, making sure that you're prepared to know how to watch versus just like argue with yourself and make it a miserable ass experience, and then insert a new action. You're going to do that over and over and over again. And then you're going to reinforce the new you. Eventually what happens is it gets easier and easier to see yourself in an urge. It gets easier and easier to dismiss it. Every single time you dismiss an urge, no matter what time of day it is, give yourself a little credit. You can do a few things. Like some people do these urge jars where you get a fishbowl, you can get them off Amazon. I've got the teal like marbles in there. You get a marble every time you do an urge. You just collect as many as possible. There's a small dopamine hit that comes along with that. Some of you like to track urges on a sheet where it's just like, all right, every time I do an urge, I check, I didn't respond to an urge. For some people, it's just a matter of like reinforcing it in your brain by like take your Marco Polo girls. Just want to let everybody know, another urge down, like saying it out loud, giving yourself some credit. It allows your brain to get a sweet little reward every single time. So the process is simple. Identify your patterns. You're going to watch the urge instead of experience the urge. You're going to insert some kind of new action or still observation. And then success. Make sure that you high five yourself in some way every single time. And that is the only four things to do. And I will promise you guys, the more you use your planner, that will help you really find your patterns. I love nothing better than when someone gets on a coaching call with me on Sundays and they say, I've been tracking, here's what I've noticed, and we can dive in. The easiest thing to fix is stuff where we have the data and we know what to fix. Okay, so here's what I want everybody to do. Everyone, let's imagine that we're having an urge. Like everybody pretend you're having an urge right now. Some of you may actually be having an urge after listening to me talk about this for so long. All right. The first thing I want you to do when you have an urge is I want you to close your eyes. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a full body scan. And what this means is you are going to close your eyes and you're going to breathe and you are going to try to identify in your body as many physical sensations as you possibly can. Now, for some of you, I want you to like identify what feeling you're feeling right now. You can do this with any feeling. You can do this when you're having an urge. You can do this when you're stressed. You can do this when you're feeling happy. This is just a really good way for you to figure out how you're actually feeling. So close your eyes and think about the feeling that you're feeling right now. And we're going to take 60 seconds. And during that 60 seconds, I want you to identify all the physical sensations you have in your body. Now what I want you to do is I want you to think, and this is exactly, excuse me, this is exactly what goes on my, damn, I just swallowed like the biggest wad of spit. This is exactly what happens in my body when I am experiencing this emotion. The worst that happens is this. Like, this literally is it, guys. So somebody said, my heart's racing, my blood's boiling right now, I have tension and antsy fingers, and my mind is fighting. That's it. Do we need to eat over that? No. Like, I want everybody to answer. Do you need to eat over what you're feeling right now? Or is this something that you just sit with? Like, this is literally the worst. If you didn't die during that 60 seconds, you probably won't die in 5 more minutes either. Now, the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to do the 90-second countdown. So this time, we are not going to be focusing on the feelings in our body. You're going to count down from 90 in your head, and I will count out loud for you. And while we're doing that, your job is to, whenever thoughts come in, you just push them away. There's no, like, I don't want to think that, or arguing with them. It's just like, not right now, not right now. So everybody close your eyes again. Take a really deep breath. Breathe out all the bullshit. Take another deep breath in. Breathe in your sanity. And breathe out really hard. More of the bullshit. I'm going to count you down from 90. And your job is to just dismiss thoughts. 90, 89, 88, 87, 86, 85, 84, 83, 82, 81, 80, 79, 78, 77, 76, 75, 74, 73, 72, 71, 70, 69, 68, 67, 66, 65, 64, 63, 62, 61, 60, 59, 58, 57, 56, 55, 54, 53, 52, 51, 50, 49, 48, 47, 46, 45, 44, 43, 42, 41, 39, 40, 38, 37, 36, 35, 34, 33, 32, 31, 30, 29, 28, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Take another really deep breath in and blow it out. Now I want you to go through your body again. And did your physical state change at all? I want you to identify the differences between when we started and where we're at right now. If your physical state is still at the same place that it was, you need to take 10 really deep breaths in and take 10 and blow them out. And then you would just repeat this process until you're so bored as fuck that you are relaxed. Because what's happening is that if you're not relaxing, you just need more time to get your brain to not think about things and to get more focused on what's going on in your body. More focused on really getting intentional about your heart rate, your like lung function, whether or not you feel fidgety, whether or not your skin's crawling, or whether or not you're starting to feel calm. The thing about it is, guys, is that whatever you're feeling right now, food will never fix. Food doesn't take it away, because if food was fixing it and food is taking it away, it would have already done it by now. You wouldn't be here trying to figure out a new way. When we truly take care of our feelings, when we truly take care of ourselves, we become a better version of ourselves. We feel better energetically in our body. All the things change. So allowing yourself to really start sitting with these urges, noticing your patterns, coming up with new things to try, talking to the people in your accountability groups when things go right, and sitting and listening to this stuff makes all the difference in the world. Okay. Let's, Betsy, I know you're here. I want you to take what I recorded and I want you to edit out my coughing. Have Jen edit my coughing out. Start where it was really clean and what I just ended with about food not solving anything. Okay, so for those of you who did not have a state change, you are going to have to make sure that I want you guys to tell me over in Q&A, come and tell me, for those of you who didn't have a state change, what was going on? Did your brain just keep racing, or what happened? Like, what did you notice so that I can see it? Let's see. Oh my God, my cat's crying. I buffer at work, especially deal with thoughts regarding my boss. So why don't we just deal with our thoughts about our boss? I do thought work on my relationship with my boss. Sometimes I just allow frustration. Sometimes I try to generate something better. Any other suggestions? I just be frustrated. Why don't I just think, like, I'm like the last person in the world that I'm going to eat over is somebody that frustrates me. Take that off the table. And then you need to ask yourself, why is my boss so frustrating? Like, I'm still getting paid. That's good. Like, you probably just need to dig in, Michelle, as to why you are allowing yourself to get frustrated about your boss. Because you said something really interesting. You did say thoughts about my boss. Sometimes I just allow frustration. I think that's fine. I think it's fine to allow for frustration. But what I would do is I would allow, like, truly allow for frustration. Be like, I'm choosing to be frustrated right now. Or I'm choosing to do thought work. But I'm not going to eat. Any suggestions on how to detect the urge before you realize you're past a two? That's not really, I think that those are two very different things. So I think that, like, if you're having an urge, then I would deal with urges. But if you're just overeating, you need to figure out a way to, like, stop halfway through your meal and do an internal check. So that's going to be like, when I start eating halfway through the meal, if you're going past your plus two, my cat is going crazy over here. She's now eating paper. If you're going to go past your, like, if you've been doing that, stop in the middle and say, am I satisfied? And then do a physical check. That's what I would be doing. I, like, the urge, like, if you're, like, here's the deal. If you're eating Like there's like, we don't say yes to urges and stop at a plus two. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, I have the urge to eat off plan, something that's not even on the plan, and I'm not even hungry to begin with. Just the moment you catch yourself eating, guys, what most of you are doing, the thing that I see is you guys start eating and you think you fucked up, so you just keep eating, right? And that's just a judgment call. Rather than saying like, oh, I'm so glad I caught myself eating. Am I going to stop is the question. Like allowing yourself to not judge yourself and just be like, am I going to stop? You can always save the day at any time. You do not have to choose to fuck it up every single time. I don't understand the difference between watch, not react, and still observation. Watching an urge, still observation is like watching the urge, but still observation is when we drop into, all right, we've noticed we're having an urge. Are we going to argue with it or are we going to sit with it? And if we're going to sit, because if you argue with it, guys, you're not ever sitting with it. That's never what you're doing in the insert new actions. Arguing is not the new action. Arguing would be the old action. So when we hit number three and it's insert new actions, you have three choices. When you insert a new action, you can either keep going on with what you were doing, just be like, oh, there's an urge. Like, no, we're not having wine. No, we're not getting up to go get candy. No, we're not going to go to the vending machine. Like, we need to finish this project. Number two is like, let's say you're doing it at home, or let's say you are at work. Just so like, all right, my new action is going to be like, I know that I want to eat right now because my brain like is so tired of working on this project and I'm wanting to go eat so that I can feel productive while I get, so I don't feel so guilty for taking a break, or for, I don't feel bad that I can't just keep going. And you're just like, all right, this is what I decided to do. Rather than taking a hot walk over to the vending machine, I'm going to sit at my desk, I'm going to close my door, and I'm going to like take 5 minutes and just lay my head down if I need to, whatever you need to do, like insert some new action, right? Still observation would be doing like what we just did. So still observation would be a 90-second countdown, identifying the feelings in your body. Like really like going and laying down. A lot of times people with urges in the afternoons, they are in evenings, they like to go lay in their bed in the dark and just think like through, like they like to visualize themselves the next day, feeling pride and all that kind of stuff. I tell you what, don't even worry about this, Betsy. I'm going to redo that recording because I forgot that I wanted to add a visualization at the end of it. But one of the other things that you can do after that, like we're going to drop into the feeling, is you can do the 90-second countdown. You can do a couple of deep breaths. And then you can do what I do, which is like, I will visualize myself like, okay, so I want to visualize myself tomorrow morning experiencing pride or elation that I feel lighter in my body. And then I think, all right, if I felt elated, what would that be like? And so then I take another minute to try to generate elation or to generate pride. The easiest hack to get that done, guys, is to think about a time when you were proud of yourself and you visualize that for like 30 seconds and then you listen to the feelings in your body. Doing that little process right there, guys, is a really good way of retraining your brain how to respond to urges. It's like you want to get your brain to be like, oh, we're going to listen to that audio by Corinne each and every time. I'll record this tomorrow, y'all. I have a lot of videos to record tomorrow for other things. I will make sure I do this audio recording tomorrow. How do you do that if the urge strikes when you are in the middle of chaos? If it's hard to find a calm, quiet place to recenter when the kids are acting out or other chaos? Well, so when they're being chaotic, why do you mirror them with chaotic eating? What is your eating solving with the kids? Other than you not thinking they're chaotic. What if you're just like, yeah, it's chaos right now. Like the kids are acting like ass. You know what? I don't like it. That's okay. I notice me not liking this. I notice I'm getting worked up over it. You don't stop. But most of you, the reason why, like when you say this, the reason like an urge strikes in the middle of chaos is because you don't want to feel upset that your kids are acting like jackasses or your kids are doing whatever they're doing. It's like, this is my tired mommy moment. This is what happens. Sometimes it's not all great. But what most of us do is like, this shouldn't be happening. If they just act some different way, like we have that chaos going on in our mind as if whatever they're doing shouldn't be happening. It's like, guess what, Buttercup? They're acting that way. It's not that they shouldn't be acting that way. It is happening. So what if you just don't like it? Rather than wishing it away, rather than wanting there to be something different, that part is the part that generates the food urge. Because the idea that something should be different, so now we create something different with food. We create, like, this is supposed to be a peaceful moment when our kids are trying to burn the house down for fun. It's like, no, sometimes we're upset. Sometimes our kids are, like, not acting the best. I think kids' chaos creates anxiety. Then I want to push down with food. The only reason why, like, the kids' chaos is not creating the anxiety. Guess what's creating the anxiety, Jenny? Your thoughts about what your kids are doing. And it's probably, this shouldn't be happening. They should act better. This should be different. I can't stand this. I must be a terrible mom because they're like shaving each other's heads right now. Whatever it is. Those thoughts, they should just do what they are supposed to do. No, they shouldn't. You know why? They're kids. Think about, like, all of you right now with children who always think, like, our kids should be behaving so differently. In your mind, you're supposed to come home every day, and they're just, like, all of a sudden, the clouds part, angels on high come down and sing. Our kids are doing crafts in the corner, making no mess whatsoever. No one ever fights or argues. And the reason why I know you guys have this delusional dream is because, like, you want coaching on why your kids are fighting. It's like, because they're kids. Well, they shouldn't do that. Well, they are, because they're kids. Like, why argue about that? This doesn't mean you're not going to, like, say, stop arguing. I've told you 1,000 times not to argue. But, like, sometimes we have to, like, gut check ourselves. Like, is our anxiety really because our kids are having a spat over Play-Doh? Or is our anxiety over, I don't know if they're ever going to change. Like, the other day I was, like, coaching someone, and her mindset around her kids was essentially, I don't remember what her kids were doing, but it was like, I think one of them had cut the other's hair or something. And her brain immediately went to, and I just know that when she gets older, she's going to end up marrying some loser and have no life. I'm like, no wonder you have anxiety. You're making her cutting her sister's hair turn into that one day she will marry a loser. Watch where your brain goes. This is where, like, in that moment, it's the same thing as an urge. Rather than experiencing your kid's chaos, what if none of it's chaotic? What if it's, my kids are cutting each other's hair. My kids are taking dog shit and smearing it on the walls. My kids are talking at, like, the level of a Def Leppard concert from the 80s. And now I need to decide, am I going to think about this in a way like, you know, I really don't like this? And that's normal for mothers. Sometimes I even get angry, and that's normal for mothers. Or am I going to think about it in a way that gives me such anxiety that I have to eat? Yes, Laura, kids really do this shit. I'll never forget when we moved into our brand new house back in the day. I came home, and I don't remember where, I think I'd been at the gym, and my grandmother was watching Logan, and my grandmother had nodded off for a minute, and he had decided to basically take brand new markers and graffiti the wall with, like, 3-year-old scribble or 2-year-old scribble. It was amazing. I couldn't concentrate. My kids are screaming in the shower. Okay, well, that's fine, Nicole. If your kids are screaming in the shower, then this is a really good opportunity for you to figure out, how can you start creating peace in your mind regardless of that? Like, that is the beauty of meditation. Like, meditation is not about, like, a silent mind in a silent environment. it's about being able, like when we do these things where we drop into our body to feel our feels and do the 90 second stuff, is to teach ourselves that at any moment when anything's going on around us, if we want to not get jazzed up by it, we can control our mind. So if like, if you noticed your mind, like I can't concentrate if there's lots of noise, it's like, okay, so my practice now is to learn how to like concentrate when there's lots of noise. My practice is to learn how to like not have other thoughts other than what I'm thinking of, no matter what's going on around me. That's like a really good practice to have for every single person. I have the hardest time writing when it is for me. I can help you write your thoughts or suggestions for your compelling reason, but when it comes to me, I have the hardest time. I don't feel I'm really drilling down. Then like make a list of 50, Jody, and then every day just pick a different compelling reason and put that one down. There's no right or wrong. Like I'm not really drilling it down. It's probably because you have a lot of them and they all mean a little bit to you, and that's fine. You don't have to have a drilled down one. Like I probably have like 75 compelling. If you flip through my planners, like my compelling reason changes like all the time. It's different depending on which way the wind's blowing outside. It's just whatever matters in that moment. And then tomorrow it might not matter at all, and that's okay. What is a good way to slow yourself down while eating? Eat with a non-dominant hand. Go get you some chopsticks. That's the easiest ways. That's what I would do. Put your fork down between every bite. And if you catch yourself not doing it, remember, oh yeah, I was supposed to be putting down my fork between every single bite. Those are the easiest ways to do it. And if you have kids, tell your kids to set a timer and that you can't finish your food until the alarm goes off, and set it for like 20 minutes. Put your kids in charge of your timing. Anytime we put our kids in charge of us, suddenly shit changes. What is the thought that makes somebody feel super guilty? It used to be easier to lose weight when it was all about me. What are you talking about over here? My thoughts are, it used to be easier to lose weight when it was all about me. It was never easier back then. That's a lie you tell yourself. Don't allow yourself to tell yourself that lie, because here's the problem. When we say that, we are saying it with what's called hindsight bias. I guarantee you, back in the day, your brain had a whole nother load of bullshit that it would talk about. It had its own stresses. It had its own load of crap. Problem is you've got new crap, new shiny crap. And now all you remember is the easy part. We all do that. It's selective remembrance. So never allow yourself to believe that, because it's never true. Because if we time warped your ass, I guarantee you, because here's the thing, if weight loss was ever easy, it would still be easy now. Like whatever habits and stuff you had then, kids would never change that. Your thinking patterns wouldn't change because you had kids. Like if you thought food was easy then, you'd think food's easy now. You'd be like, kids make it even easier. It's just really hard to even eat while they're around. They're busy little fuckers. So what do you think about that? All right, guys, that's it. That's what we have today. I hope you enjoyed the urge call. I will get that recording done, but this was pretty good. We talked a lot about the urges, and I hope that it really helped you guys. My biggest thing for all of you is with this four-step process, know your patterns so that before they come, not so you are worked up over them, but that you understand they're coming and you can make your realistic plans to where it's easier for you to sit through them. You can have strategies in place for when those times are going to happen. And then you guys understand the difference between sitting and watching your stuff. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.